No, we didn't. I didn't see anybody's name wrote on there. Yeah.
I'd like to call this meeting to order for June 30th, 2014. Rick, you'd like to...
Yes, sir.
Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and just again praise you for the great God that you are. Just amazed each time we think about that, the mercies and blessings you pour out upon us. We thank you for that, God. And we thank you most of all for your Son that you sent to die upon a cross for us, and praise you again for that. Pray that you'd help us to share it with others. Now we pray to the Lord this morning for wisdom that you know in your word you promised us wisdom if we ask for it. We just pray that you give it to us and help us to make decisions to be pleasing to you in this county government. And we pray for leaders in the state and federal government throughout the nation and throughout the world, God, that you just be with them. Lift up those that might be in harm's way, that may need your healing hand, that just may need your comforting hand, God, that you'd be with them. And just pray that you would just continue to bless them. Thank you again for the blessings you give us. These things we ask in your Son's name. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Any commission remarks? Take that as a no. The accounts payable?
Yes. Motion for approval of accounts payable, checks 340151 through 220 and warrants 6020.
Second, we have a motion and second to approve accounts payable 340151 through checks numbers 340220 and warrants 6020. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries.
Motion for approval of payroll.
Second. We have a motion and a second to approve payroll. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. Court orders.
Gentlemen, we have three court orders this morning. They are for the year 2011, 2012, and 2013. It's a real estate refund. As soon as I wrestle this chair, I'll get to it. Sorry. Apparently, a double-wide mobile home had been put on the parcel where there was no double-wide mobile home for three years running. The assessor's office has determined that it is an erroneous assessment and that the double-wide mobile home needs to be removed. The value in 2011 was $27,490, going to $19,290, same for 2012 and for 2013. Would you like the BOE numbers?
We will put it as Exhibit A and the day's date. And motion for approval of Exhibit A, June 30th.
Second. We have a motion to approve Exhibit A, dated 6/30/2014. Any discussion?
I'm a little bit. To say that I don't understand that it being brought, it's brought to the county commission, but if there's an increase in value on something that wasn't there, wouldn't that go before the BOE?
It's not an increase, it's a decrease. It's a refund because...
You're saying that the double wide was removed, not put... That
correct.
Was there, that sat on two parcels.
Right, there was a double wide
okay.
that was put on here, and I'm sorry, the value of a double wide was put on the tax bill, and there was actually no double wide.
Okay, I misunderstood you.
Okay.
I thought you was stating that it was put on there. So, that's all the discussion I had, Brandon.
And you'd said, Donna, that I asked how do they know that there was no double wide on there? You said that the assessor's office.
The assessor's office determines that.
Determines that?
Yes. I know right now they're going through each parcel within the county, and they probably reviewed it and saw the error, and now they're correcting it.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries.
Thank you, gentlemen. Would you like to initial this, Brandon?
Well, I need some initials,
Zach.
Would you like to initial this one?
No, he can. There he's.
Thank you.
Road and bridge update.
First time I have on there, I talked in a previous meeting about Fall Creek Road. I've contacted two different people in the city of Branson, but I haven't heard anything back of trying to get a meeting set up to discuss that with them yet. Hopefully I'll hear something.
On Fall Creek Road?
On Fall Creek Road.
I ran into them at a state. The state was giving their presentation at the city. I talked to them a little bit there about the Fall Creek Road, and they brought up one other thing. I can't remember what it was.
Well, I talked to them about Fall Creek and Bird Road previous. I mean,
okay.
Different
well, they acted
times,
like
but
look, acted like they acted like they would be willing to talk, and so I don't know if you need to facilitate a meeting with them or what. But.
Yeah.
I told them that we need to get
well, I talked. The second one I talked to is David Miller, and
right.
He said he would try to get something put together, so hopefully we can get a meeting.
The last time that we did any major work on that road. We was when Mr. Strophus was here, and he'd actually had a meeting with them and supposedly brought the information back to us that they were willing for conversation if we would do such and such, and I don't know whether it was overlay or whether it was chip and seal or what, then they would at that point be willing to take it over.
Yeah.
But that was never, there was never any contract or any paperwork, so I think there, David Miller was involved in that also. Yeah. I think so, if we bring it up and get it, get something on paper to where the county,
I think they were wanting a new entrance done, though. On my conversation with him last couple of weeks was he brought up a new entrance onto, what is that, 160 goes through there?
165.
I mean,
that
164, sorry.
That was one of the projects also on the transportation board. One of David's is a different approach off of intersection or interchange or whatever off of 165 and Fall Creek some way, if they could find some different alignment there, because that's steep and problem area.
That'll be a conversation. But there's a street that takes off right at the top of the hill that comes out over. That all it need would be some markings to get through there. I mean, that was the one we used for as a detour when we had the other project going, and that road there, I take it to get over there whenever I go anyway, instead of going off the steep incline hill that's concreted.
The other thing with that road is we have several roads off of it that we maintain still yet, so that's going to have to be part of that too, is what do we do with those roads? So, but anyway, hopefully we'll get talking going on. Our chip seal right now, Brian's completed about 15 mile of 70 mile list. He's currently working in the south end of the county, off Graham Clark and Maple Street, and then he'd be moving back in, finishing up T Highway area in 76, coming toward Forsyth. One thing I did want to bring up, and I'll let you look this over, is at our shop facilities, I want to see if you gentlemen would approve us going out for bid on possibly some cameras. Here's some specs, and I asked Ron to be here to kind of help. We talked with Mark Reese to help kind of put together some specs on cameras on the shop facilities to for outdoor cameras. We've had recent problems there at Mount Branson, a couple things come up missing after hours, and same thing at other shops periodically through the past years, and that might be a possibility where might be able to help us out in that area.
Randy, these have already been approved by the county commission. It was to be sent to Mark to go ahead and get those, and matter of fact, I thought they were already installed. But they have already been, you can look back in the minutes and find where the county commission went ahead and approved the purchase of four cameras at that time. You may need more than that. You may want to add that to the list. But
okay, well, we were thought it wasn't approved. That's the reason I was bringing it back up was...
I think Mark was responsible for putting them up after we got them. I know there was one location where there was supposed to be a camera put up that where we had some things that were missing. So there was an approval of four. We can review the minutes and find that conversation.
What I'd like to do is what we determined was going to take about four cameras at each site, basically to cover as big as these lots were in different areas. I know we talked about the Mount Branson because we went out there, and I know Ron and myself, we physically looked at that site to see some ideas. And
So you're thinking that you're going to need four at each site instead of four cameras. We approved four cameras.
Right.
So we could go ahead and make an approval of those needed by the road superintendent and Ron Erickson?
Yeah, have Ron start the process, I guess, again.
The one thing, my question is if we go with all three sites, I mean, that's it's going to come into an estimated cost I've got there. We actually would need to bid it. Or we could do one or two sites right now, because I know we were talking about the Buchanan site and maybe another option there. We may want, I don't know whether you want to do anything there or hold off on that site.
Well, the period of time that you have to go out for bids, 3 months, isn't it? If you make a purchase?
1 month.
1 month. Right.
Well, I thought there was already some cameras at some locations. Did you know, Brandon, I don't know whether this took place while you were here or not. But
there was one that wasn't a barn per se that I thought we had a camera at already.
Yeah.
But maybe not.
But there has been approval of four. I'll make a motion that we approve.
We just need to have Ron start the process.
Just start the process and bring it to us.
We won't need to bid it. I mean, we won't be over that limit if we do two sites right now.
Well, you're talking about eight cameras then, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to make a motion to go ahead and do that.
But are we doing two locations? Are we doing?
Well, I'd like to do two locations now and then wait to see if we decide anything on the other and not waste putting up cameras.
Do you have the dollar amount so we have an exact dollar amount for the two locations?
It's going to be approximate each location four cameras at each site would be about $1,525 per site.
Do you want to make a motion to?
I was going to go ahead and let them do those two sites. I was going to make a motion for them to complete two sites with the outfitting of the cameras, and then come back with the others if necessary.
Okay. Well, we'll see how this this helps on the two locations, and I'll hold off on the third.
Are you going to make a motion?
Yes, I did.
You said you were going to make a motion.
Yeah, I am. I am making the motion, Mr. Williams.
I don't know that I know what the motion is.
It's to go ahead and let them proceed with two sites with Randy, road superintendent, and Mr. Erickson working on the project.
Second, we have a motion and a second to allow Randy and Ron Erickson to move forward with putting cameras at two locations.
Yes.
And that would keep us under the bid.
We wouldn't have to go out for bid on this.
Keep us under that. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries.
This next item we will need to bid out, and what I'd like to do, I'm waiting on a specifications, but I'd like to bid out a new V-bed spreader for one of David's 550 Ford flatbed trucks. For the spreader we used last year, we limped it through winter, and it's pretty much used up. We need to put a new spreader on this vehicle, so I'd like to bid that out. Estimated cost is going to be about $10,000, give or take. It's a hydraulic stainless spreader, 8-foot size. Goes on that four-wheel drive 550 truck.
Okay, have you got that covered in the budget as far as any end?
I've got enough money left over in the equipment line item to more than take care of this. So,
motion for approval.
We just need to have him go after a bid. Right. Start the bid process on
it. Yeah, I mean,
and then we'll do all the motions.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, unless you gentlemen have something, that pretty well, that's all I need to bring to you this morning. I don't know if David or Devin has anything. But
I do not.
You never have anything. Devin, you got anything?
No.
Where's Harlan at?
He
He is kind of short-handed, so he's kind of tied up right now. He was helping Steve Biggs on a project, so he couldn't make it up here.
One thing that I need to keep as a reminder before the commission is the addition of a work facility there at Mount Branson, shop facility, whether it be a 2 or 3 bit bay unit. I don't know whether there's been any type of work done on the estimated cost, but we would need that done before the commission could consider that. But we need to have that. I don't want to drive by there next winter and see the mechanic having to stand outside working on vehicles because he can't get them in those small bays.
Actually, Devin and I, we remeasured. We got a couple options there we can look at. Now, I don't have any costs or anything. One option is either remodel that building some form or fashion and make them bays bigger, which I don't know if that's going to be cost effective or not. There is enough room right behind there that we could put a 60 by 80 type shop building, metal building in behind there.
Right where the spreaders are currently.
Right where the current spreaders are right now.
And you can move them on back to the
back. And I could move, we could either move them on back or put them out in front of the building, either one. But that would be probably the better option of the two.
What I would like for you to do is bring a cost to the commission so we can review it as far as approximate cost or bid on the unit. Itself, whether it be a 40 by 60 or whatever you claim that you need, and let us review it and see if we can consider it at that time.
Okay.
I would rather see that and then use the current one as storage for some of the equipment we still need to get in out of the weather.
Randy, I went by the shop the other day and I saw a bunch of guys sitting there picking asphalt out of their boots. One mentioned that the pair of boots was only about 2 weeks old and the rubber seal was already coming off of it. And I know we've kind of talked about it in the past, but it's called Cofra Asphalt Boot. I don't know if you've ever heard of that or not. COFRA.
No, I haven't.
It's a specific boot made for working in asphalt and hot mix. It's got a heat-resistant outsole to 572 degrees. Yada, yada, yada. Anyways, is there a way that we can start a conversation maybe on... what we've talked about in the past, like a boot allowance. I'd like to talk about maybe having a pair of boots for each guy, but they cannot take them home. It's one of those things where they stay there at the shop with their name on it. You know, there needs to be the crew leaders going through and saying, hey, yeah, they took their boots home, wherever. That way there's no... Because if we bought them, they're county property. They're not. I don't want them wearing out fishing or four-wheeling or doing whatever else, but I think they need to have their feet protected, and it's kind of silly for them to have a pair of boots for 2 weeks and they're already tore up. Is that something that we, that something you guys feel is a need or not a need? Or
soles melt off and glue
the asphalt, the road oil, even the salt and calcium is very tough on people's footwear. All three of those environments. A hot mix probably worse than the road oil, but the road oil gets nasty and nobody likes taking them home. You track it in your house and that'll make for a good situation. It's hard to get off. And it actually, it's pretty tough.
We had a boat allowance before, and as you boys know, and it was a road and bridge boat allowance. But we have to restrict this different than what it was before. And before it had recommended a couple different brands of boots to wear, safety type boots.
It had to be
wear.
A safety boot.
And anyway, if you had the certain individuals that work on this hot asphalt and hot mix, then I think that if you'll come to the commission with the numbers and stuff, what we might consider that again. We dropped that four or five years ago. I can't remember the exact timing on it. You may remember it, David. I don't remember exactly when we dropped that, but we might consider it for those individuals. It is difficult to say that we're going to have a boot allowance for road and bridge.
Well, again, I wouldn't necessarily call it a boot allowance because I don't want the guys to go and buy a brand new pair of cowboy boots and say, I'm going to work in them, and then they tear up, and then they complain about, you know.
Right.
I think we should buy them, maybe give them the option of two, but that meet the requirements that we want them to meet as far as the asphalt and the heat and the all that stuff. And then they don't wear them home. They don't take them home. They stay right there at the shop. Unless, I mean, again, I need your guys' input on that. If that's not feasible, then I walked in, I saw all of them picking asphalt and complaining about their shoes, and I don't blame them. And the Cofras that I saw, again, Cofra, they weren't very expensive, didn't look like.
Cofra?
R-A, yeah. I'm sure there's a lot of them out there. That was just one that I Googled and came up. So you might do some research on that.
I'll talk with the supervisors, and we'll come back with an idea or number or estimating.
Yeah,
that's what we can find out.
I mean, people are working in different areas. They don't need them, so there's no, I mean, there's not a, shouldn't be any issues there.
Okay.
Anything else?
That's all I have.
Nothing? Mr. Stottle?
No.
Thank you, guys. Three parcels with no value. What is that?
Gentlemen, thanks for the opportunity to speak to you this morning. This issue came about originally from the collector's office. I think it was Deborah found that a parcel didn't have any value on it and asked me about it. We found that there's actually three parcels that the name on the deed, collector's deed, which I've made copies for you there.
So these are three parcels that have no value on them?
Have no value assessed to them, yes, sir.
So, and I'm...
Because that there's a collector's deed, this happened back in 89, a trustee was established, and the properties didn't get sold, is what I'm guessing, seeing here. After we found those, I did some more digging with the help of our auditor, found three more properties that have no value on them. Let's see. Again, we got the three from 89, we've got one from 92, one from 01, and one from 02.
took, I would think, and this is just this is a question, but I would think that this would be a decision for the BOE with you making a presentation of value and then approval by the BOE if they've not been there. So I would think that this would be a BOE question that you could bring forth to them. You set a value and we approve it as if we were approving a improvement on the properties.
Danny, I'm not sure what needs to be done. I don't think it's a BOE thing because we can't find this one gentleman, the oldest three, Goodall. We can't find him. I'm assuming that it was like we did when I was with you up here. We had Bob, or maybe it was before I got here. But anyway, Bob Paulson was a trustee on a deed. And then before that, Diana Long. And it's properties that have come to the county that need to be sold to somebody. And it may be a question for you to take to your attorney.
That's probably what I would like to do is just send this on to Frank and ask him how we need to go forward.
But we've got these first three have been sitting out there for 25 years, haven't been assessed. And the other ones for a good long while as well. I did a little research. There's properties, lots around these lots. I believe on each of them there's three properties that join, top and bottom and one side, that hopefully one of those folks would be interested in enlarging their property and would buy those so that they could get back on the, on the assessment.
Because I'm a little bit confused on this. This was a piece of property that was to be put up for sale, and then there was no bidders probably on the property. Is that what you're saying?
I'm guessing that
and
was
so
the case.
At that point, it becomes vacant property with and that's what we need to check with the attorney. Does it turn it over to the county at that point because we're the one that put it up for sale? I guess this would be strictly an attorney's opinion, and he may go higher than we are to find out what to do, because if there's no if it's already been through the process as far as value and it probably went through a fourth year sale or something, nobody picked it up, who owns it at that point? So I'm with you, Brennan. I think that we'll just turn this whole thing over to Frank and let him review it. I still think that it might, even if we own it, or it'd be on an exemption, but at least it would show if we own it.
The deeds, the first three we found, they actually mailed a letter, I believe. The collector did to the man, hoping that he'd be interested in buying it or something. I don't know how that works, but anyway.
You mean previous owner?
Or maybe it was one of the neighboring owners they sent a letter to. But the address is, one of them is P.O. Box 1086. The first three was the clerk's office. So I believe it's in the hands of the county, and what we need to do is get it where the county commission can release it for sale. I'd be happy to help try to find a buyer by sending letters out. That's what the collector initially did. Maybe they'd be happy to do as well. But, again, there's property owners that adjoin these properties that you would think would be willing to pay for them, and then they get back on the tax roll. There's a letter there on top, I think, from Stone County, and it tells a little bit about their... currently, it says the trustee is the Stone County Commission. So anyway, it looks And again, as you know, I'm no lawyer, but we need to find out, the best of my thinking, how to get it in your all's hands so that we can sell these properties.
Yeah, I think that's...
Yeah, we'll turn it over to Frank. Let him tell us what
he did. Frank, and then he'll give us a draft of something that we can go off of.
Good to go. Thanks for hearing me.
Thanks, sir. The flood properties discussion.
Morning.
Good morning. We went out last Thursday and looked at the properties, and I'm assuming this is kind of what we... These are notes that you took, possibly, or what is this?
Well, you've actually got a copy of these, but these are the deed restrictions, or an example of the deed restrictions that were recorded with one of the properties. I have checked into a few of the questions that the commission had. I know one of the questions was concerning transfer of title, and I have discovered, even per the deed restrictions, that the county commission would have the ability to transfer title on these properties. But the properties could only be conveyed to a public entity. I did contact Mike Williams, my contact person with SEMA now, just to try to get him to define what a public entity was versus a private entity. He did indicate that it was his understanding that they would view a homeowners or property owners association as a private entity. Now, the county also has the option with these properties of leasing the properties to a private entity. In both cases, FEMA would have to approve either the sale or conveyance or the lease of the properties. And they would basically have to either be sold or leased with these same restrictions being attached to the properties. But it does give the county a few options on these different properties.
The other main question that as we reviewed those properties was the amount of concrete that was already in place. Did you find out anything about the absolute removal? Or can we keep that concrete in place as we do demolition? Because there's, I don't know how many square yards of concrete slabs that are in those, and some whole entire backyard portions are 4x8 or 4x4 or whatever concrete slabs. So as we reviewed those, that was one of our main questions, because as the demolition takes place, I would like to see the concrete stay there. I mean, it's a value to whatever purpose that the county might decide that they want to use this property for, whether it be basketball courts or a park area or whatever. There's no need in tearing out perfectly good concrete and replacing it with perfectly good concrete. It just doesn't make good common sense. So I don't know whether you come up with anything on that. You said that Mr. Williams, did he give you any, and not, that's not Mr. Williams here, but that's Mr. Williams with FEMA or SEMA, and have them tell you what we can do with those backyards full of concrete?
Well, he actually did give me a few options. First off, I did want to check to see if some of the concrete materials could be used as fill also, if the need arose with some of these houses having the basements. And he did indicate that the concrete, first off, could be used as fill. He was going to try to find some specifications as to, he did say that the concrete would have to be crushed and essentially become more of an aggregate, but he really didn't find anything that gave an actual specification. I did bring up specifically with him on one property, as you know, where there's a kind of a rock area in a pathway, and he really indicated that he saw no problems with leaving certain areas like that. With that being said, he said, well, really this is supposed to be something that converts these properties back to open space or park space. But he said, I don't see an issue if a certain amount of concrete was left, or if, you know, a rocked area was left, or he didn't get really too definitive with me. He didn't put anything in writing, but he said, as long as we can really say that it meets the definition of open space or park space, he said, I don't see that there'll be an issue with it.
Okay, so we have options.
I really think you do.
I got a question on this, and you probably know this already, but I don't. Usually when they put that bid out for demolition, it's probably be for all properties bid under one company. I just wondered if they could be split, or you could put those out for bid and get them done quicker by having multiple bids let for certain areas. I don't know whether they'll allow that or not, but I would like to see that.
On the CDBG side, and I don't want to speak for you on really the CDBG has really given us a little bit more guidance than FEMA has. They've just sent us, in their documentation, they've just indicated that they highly recommend that we bid this out as one project. And really, SEMA's kind of indicated the same thing, that they would prefer that we bid this out as one big project.
We can put a timeline on the project, right? Too, right?
Yes, so that yes.
Way, you know. The only thing that I've seen is the fact that if it had been one continuous properties, that we could, yeah, I could see them doing that, but where we have separation of properties in different locations, I know one company can't be tearing as much as there is there and be on another location too, and so I was just using it as a time frame to get this cleaned up as quickly as possible.
Well, I understand completely. I did also check into one other question that the commission had, and I was a little surprised at the answer on this. There's one tree that's dead that's basically leaning on another tree. I wanted to actually see, Mickey had thought that possibly the grant would even pay for the removal of that tree. But when I contacted this Mike Williams with SEMA, he ran that up the flagpole, and they indicated that that would not be a reimbursable expense or anything.
The removal of those trees that are a danger to the public?
That's what he indicated. He said that they didn't have any issue, of course, with them being removed, but that they wouldn't be, a reimbursable expense as part of this grant program. I guess they're looking at it more as a maintenance type issue. Now, I did indicate to him that it appeared to me that this tree likely fell over during the flooding event. And so I was a little surprised at that.
It's definitely a safety issue that should be considered by them. I guess before we have anybody in there doing demolition.
I thought we already gave direction to get it picked up.
Well, we did, but according to him, there's not going to be any payment through SEMA for it. So the county has a safety issue, I guess, we need to get taken care of before demolition starts.
You need to get taken care of before somebody goes in and gets hurt. period.
Yeah, so.
Because it's just hanging on. I mean, it's a pretty good-sized tree.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
Hanging on by a limb by another tree. So if that tree were to give or wind were to
Oh, exactly. Break it I free, agree.
Not that there'd ever be trespassers on there.
But, yeah, we need to go ahead and get that particular one taken down. What about the others that need to be taken out down for excavation and for demolition?
Now, my understanding, like any of the bushes or anything that are right up against the house, I think they would just view that as part of the demolition. I really do. I don't know if there were any other dead trees that weren't immediate to the house. I don't know if they would consider that a reimbursable expense. I don't think we've got a lot of dead trees down there, though.
Yeah. Well, we'll get Road and Bridge to run down there with a backhoe and take that one, at least get it on the ground.
Yeah. One question I did have, and we talked a little bit about this on site, the sewer district's in the process of disconnecting all of the sewer lines to each of these properties. There's one particular property where the sewer district hasn't been able to, well, actually there are two properties where they're still trying to locate the actual sewer line, and they're in the process of locating those, but they think that one of these is under a small shed. I didn't know what the commission's feel was on that, if we would have a skid loader brought down and have the shed moved, or how we wanted to approach that.
It's ain't right.
They're
I don't have a laser on it. It's aimed at you. We talked about that. We have a skid steer, don't we, that has forks on it? So you can pick that building up so they can find them.
I guess they've actually literally set the building on top of the clean out, and it's a very small building.
That would be part of the demolition, would it not? So we should be able to get reimbursed for that.
That would be my understanding,
keep track of that.
Yeah.
Please.
All right.
It's not a problem.
Thank
you. I would like for you to do some more checking on the concrete.
Okay.
Because it just doesn't make any sense if we decide to go back in and put concrete in for a park.
Okay.
Just get it in writing that we can do something. If somebody up the chain of command says it's okay. That's where I want you to get it in writing from them, because it is, we're talking to the public now over these mics, but it is totally unreasonable that you would take those slabs up and then us go in and have to pour slabs for a basketball court or whatever might be in a park area.
Yeah, I understand completely. I'll see if if SEMA will give me something a little more specific in writing.
Yes.
I guess Mickey Davis has indicated to me that he'll be providing me with a draft set of bid specifications, and of course I'm hopeful that I can review those. Haven't run this by him, but I may also, I'd love to run it by Randy and of course with our purchasing manager as well. But I think one of the questions that Mr. Davis had too was, after, you know, touring these properties, do we want to bid this out allowing for salvage rights or not allowing for salvage rights?
After being down there and looking at it, I think we go ahead and let them have the bids on, just let them go ahead and have the salvage rights, well, maybe make a lower bid.
We talked about doing a walkthrough with the, and make you, was it you,
oh, exactly,
make you, making it mandatory that they are going to bid on it, they have to do the walkthrough or whatever. I don't know enough about it, but I'm assuming that that'll reflect in their bids. They'll be able to walk through, see how much copper, see how much valuable materials there, and then that should reflect in their bid.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping. And then that leaves us out of it. And it's,
So I don't think we need to, you know, unless we have further discussion, I don't think we need to have a separate salvageable rights. And then this, I mean, that's, it should reflect in their bid.
I'm in agreement with that.
Okay.
Can I offer something for the record?
Always.
The bid process. Previously, I was made aware that Mr. Davis had made the remark that he anticipated that when he got his bid specs ready and presented to me, et cetera, that we would have a mandatory pre-bid meeting with all interested vendors, whether they're demolition experts or salvage experts, and he mentioned mid-July. Well, tomorrow is July 1st, and when I heard that, I thought maybe he's just looking at the wrong calendar, but it would virtually be impossible for me to get a bid out that quick, and I don't have the specs yet, but by Missouri law, we would want that bid out for 30 days and set a date for a pre-bid, mandatory pre-bid walkthrough or meeting within that post that 30-day time frame. So without the specs in my hands yet, just let's keep that in mind. I wanted to mention that for the record so that we don't get any surprises later. I don't want to see the specs on my desk and then somebody expect to see a pre-bid meeting in the middle of July. Probably be more toward the middle of August at this point, I would suspect, or even beyond that.
Right. I think that we leave that in your hands and your hands to make sure that you meet all the state qualifications, which you always do. Do a great job at that, Ron. So that leaves the county commission completely out of that part of it. And
I just wanted to clarify that.
Mr. Davis, and I know he's an expert in the field, but he made some statements there that were can't be done.
Timing was
a little off. So.
Thank you. Anything else?
Not that I have, unless there are other questions or concerns. Or thank you so much.
We are scheduled to go into executive session at 10 o'clock upstairs. Did you say it was rescheduled for tomorrow morning before BOE?
Right. That was something that Mr. Houseman put on the agenda about some issues. So I think that I make a motion to adjourn for the day. Or you want to go through the staff review upstairs?
Same, go through the staff review. Yep.
Okay.
So we will be in recess till we get upstairs?
Right.